welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
I don't know, because you're in obviously out in the countryside in your estate.
God, you're starting early.
Because I'm in Croydon. I'm now in tier two.
Right.
So it's a good job we're doing this remotely, because I wouldn't be allowed to come to your house. I think there's some sort of shield up, so if I get to the border of tier one and tier two, it stops me going. I think that's how it's working.
Yes, we've alerted the guards to not let any of the Croydon oiks pass the borderline of Mid-Sussex.
So, Mid-Sussex, where are you? You're still tier one, presumably. You could have people around your house.
I honestly don't know. I don't know what tier I am. I probably should, shouldn't I?
Have you given up caring?
Yeah, completely.
I mean, it is so complicated, isn't it? It's so confusing, this tier business.
Yeah, and they've brought in a phrase, now another new word to learn, circuit breaker.
Circuit breaker, yes.
What the hell is that?
Well, it's so you break the, you know, like under the electrical drawing, or when you make an electrical circuit, you can put a circuit breaker in. So what they're going to do is break the circuit of infection by breaking the circuit by locking us all in our homes.
So it's lockdown again?
Yeah, but yes.
Don't call it a circuit breaker, call it lockdown.
Yeah, but it's not. Lockdown doesn't get a good response these days, does it? Let's be honest. You mentioned lockdown, people start getting... people are getting rageful about lockdown, but call it a circuit breaker.
Yeah, okay. I mean, when you described a circuit breaker, you're describing what a switch is, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. We're going to switch the infection rate off by all staying in.
So that has irritated me, but something else has really started getting under my skin about, because it's all you hear about on the news, on the radio.
Yeah.
The phrase global pandemic.
Yeah.
It's pissing me off.
Why is that pissing you off? It's what it is.
Completely useless employment of the word global.
Well, of course
it's global. It's a pandemic.
Well, okay, but a pandemic doesn't necessarily mean global, does it? Like, a pandemic could mean just a few countries. It is global.
I've looked it up. There's a difference between an epidemic and a pandemic.
Right.
An epidemic is just for the country. A pandemic is one that can be for a whole country or spreads across multiple countries.
Yeah.
So throwing in the word global, is irrelevant.
No, it's not, because pandemic, as I say, like, pandemic could mean it's across, I don't know, 10 countries and the rest of the world's fine. This is a global pandemic. It's affecting every single country across the world. I think you're getting a little bit too uptight about something very minuscule, Ben.
I think I've just heard a lot of radio phone-ins with dickheads who always throw in the phrase, you know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Yes. I know.
Yeah. Okay. You're just sick of hearing about it entirely, aren't you?
I am.
I think we should stop talking about it.
I really try and limit my news intake now. It's so depressing.
I think you have to. You have to, mate. Otherwise, you go mad.
I completely agree.
My dad, he spends a lot of time watching News 24, you know, 24, Sky News and BBC News. And I'm sure it can't do him any good.
Is he in a rage 24/7 as a result of rolling news endlessly?
He's very much in a constant state of disappointment and frustration at the world, most definitely. Anyway, let's not talk about that anymore. Let's put that aside. You know, people don't come here for in-depth analysis of a global pandemic.
Stop saying that.
I tell you what, I'll change the subject on, because we're recording this on Monday afternoon, and I've already fallen quite far behind on my work this week because I've been distracted.
Oh, what's happened?
Well, I've been distracted by my own thoughts.
Okay.
So I was midway through a bit of work earlier, and for no reason at all, nothing to do with the work, the Cat in the Hat popped into my head.
Okay. And then, I haven't actually seen it or read it, but I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, well, you know, I just was thinking about the Cat in the Hat. I wasn't even thinking about the words. It was just the picture of the Cat in the Hat popped into my head for no real reason.
So that kind of slim, lanky-looking black cartoon cat with a white face and a big red and white
That's
hat.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Then I got to think, oh, that was written by Dr. Zeus, of course. And then I thought, I don't know what Dr. Zeus looks like. So I ended up going online searching for Dr. Zeus. And now I've spent the last about 45 minutes reading about Dr. Zeus instead of doing work.
Right. You're aware this is just basic procrastination.
Yeah, but I've been learning. It's very interesting. I didn't know anything about this man. He's a fascinating man, Dr. Zeus.
Was he?
He wasn't a doctor, for a start.
Oh.
That was completely of his own doing. Apparently,
Was he ever a doctor? Was he struck off in disgrace?
No, he was made an honorary doctorate of humane letters in 1956, but he wasn't a doctor before that. His dad always wanted him to be a doctor. But
what
he
is a doctorate of humane letters?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
No idea.
Sounds like a fake degree.
Well, it was given to him by his... I think his college. Isn't that what alma mater means?
Yes, I believe it does.
So it was like his college. So, yeah, whatever humane letters means, that's what he's a doctor. Well, that's what he became a doctor of, but he wasn't a doctor. But a fascinating man. Like, you know Green Eggs and Ham?
Again, I'm familiar with the book, is it?
Yeah, it was a book, yeah.
But I've never read it.
He wrote that for a bet.
What was the bet?
He was bet $50 that he couldn't write a book using only 50 words out of the 348 words approved by educators for books to teach children to read.
Oh.
And so he wrote Green Eggs and Ham using just 50 words.
Right.
Won the bet.
Very
fascinating,
good.
Isn't it? He was the first person ever to use the word nerd.
Was he?
I mean, honestly, it was like he did taxidermy. I mean, this is what I've been finding out this morning. Rather than do work, I've just been reading about Dr. Seuss.
Right, I think you need to get back to work.
He did weird taxidermy as well. Like, he wasn't like straightforward, just stuff a ferret.
Right.
You know, he'd make weird shit. He'd put antlers on like other animals' heads. And then like some of the drawings, like the Cat in the Hat looks very much like this picture of, he's got this, I don't even know what animal it is. It's a head of one animal with some horns he's put on, but the face of this animal looks like the Cat in the Hat or one of these inventions. It sounds
like the workings of a serial killer. I think he needs to be sectioned.
Oh, you'll love this bit then, if you think he's weird. He pretended to have a daughter.
What?
Right, him and his wife, they were unable to have kids, but they made up this daughter, and they would rave about the achievements of their imaginary daughter called Chrysanthemum Pearl. Just made her up and boasted about her.
Oh, that's just quite sad, really.
He collected hats.
Sounds like the nutcase next door.
I mean,
he crossed the road to get away from this fake doctor.
Oh, it was fascinating. There's so much more I could tell you, but I mean, it's just like, don't you think it's just incredible that for all these years, you know, I'm 43 and I didn't know what he looked like for a start. You know, it's just whenever I thought of Dr. Seuss, I thought he was the Cat in the Hat. That weird connection that my mind had made about him.
What do you mean you thought he was the cat? You think the Cat in the Hat was written by a cat?
Well, no, I don't know. It was just that weird connection in my head that, like, if I thought Dr. Seuss, the picture that would come into my head is the Cat in the Hat. So for some reason in my mind, Dr. Seuss was the Cat in the Hat. Of course I know he wasn't the Cat in the Hat, but I just, that was the connection. If you had said to me Dr. Seuss, bam, in my head, there it is, the Cat in the Hat.
I'm starting to think maybe you need to be sectioned as well. So I've had quite a few run-ins this week with unpleasant smells.
Right, well, it's different to the run-ins you've been having of late with your customers, so perhaps that's better.
Yes, although it will mean, though, that there is yet another chunk of this podcast which is dedicated to rather disgusting subject matter.
Right, okay.
So, basically, I'll tell you this story first of all. I'm not going to name any names, but yeah. Basically there is someone who I work with,
right,
who, for the longest time, seems to have quite a severe flatulence problem.
Right, well, I mean, you see, he needs to get that sorted.
Well, and no one was ever truly sure who it was. And they tend to, we assume, walk away from their bit of the depot and come over to, say, my bit of the depot,
yeah,
drop the bomb, and then leave.
Right.
Which is just bad form, isn't it?
So he's a phantom trumper, or he has been a phantom trumper to this point. And
yes.
Not only that, he's... he comes and invades your area. He keeps his own area clean.
So today I was walking around the supermarket before we started doing this recording, and I was walked into this, oh, hideous, invisible fug, and I was taken aback, and I thought, my God, I recognise that disgusting smell from somewhere. And I thought, that smells very similar to the occasional bomb that's dropped in the depot.
So he's got a familiar aroma.
So now I'm thinking, no, Ben, you're being paranoid.
Yeah.
I walked around the corner from the table sauce aisle that I was in, and lo and behold, there's someone in all work gear that I recognise from my depot.
She recognised him by... So you're like an animal tracker.
So I think I have found the phantom farter. And the thing is, I'm aware that this is good enough to satisfy my suspicions, but I'm aware that in Crown Court, they throw it out for lack of evidence. Coincidence, you know, irrelevant, can't be proved.
So has anyone ever confronted him about this?
A lot of people have... stormed out of the depot, you know, for 5 minutes temporarily, thinking I'm not paid enough to stand here and inhale this. So that was hideous, and I'm very pleased that in my mind I have pinpointed, I've fingered the victim.
Well, I was going to say, right, so this has been a mystery. How long has this been going on for?
And I suppose I'm the victim. I have fingered. Who have I fingered, Trev?
I don't know who you fingered, mate. None of my business.
This has been going on for ages.
You fingered the culprit. Yeah, you
have. I have. The culprit. That was the word.
You've not been fingered.
No.
So this has been going on for some time. People must have had their suspicions. Was it not talked about amongst yourselves who this might be?
Oh, there's frequent remarks to, you know, oh, who's let that one go? And oh, my God, that's awful.
But no one's ever put a suspect's name into the hat.
No.
Into
no,
the ring,
they haven't.
I should say.
No, but there has also been some quite touching concern that whoever is making capable of producing this smell should probably seek medical attention.
So you've been quickly. Like, you've been like the Poirot of your depot. The Poirot.
I want to say Poirot, but yeah. it's a terrible pun. I'm not going to go out on that.
Miss Fargo. Right. So you've got a prime suspect now.
Yes.
So what's your next move? Are you going to confront him?
As I don't have all the... I can't be 100%. I am in my own mind, but not enough to make an accusation. So what I'll probably do is just... spread rumours behind its back that I know it's him.
Well, then, but then that's because somebody will then have the guts to confront that person.
Mm, he's got the guts. Anyway, this was just one of another horrible smelling story.
Just before you move on, it just reminds me that I saw a story this week. I'd have to find it for the details. I literally saw the headline. But someone has ended up in court for farting in an Uber.
Oh.
So it could be some sort of criminal behaviour that you're dealing with here.
That is pretty bad. I saw someone else got arrested for farting at the police.
Yeah, that was a while back, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they were searching him and he deliberately farted whilst they were searching him and said, what do you think of that then? And then they nicked him, which is fair enough.
Oh, here we go. I've just found the story. The farting isn't the criminal offence. He's been charged with assault after allegedly farting in an Uber and then attacking the driver for protesting. So it wasn't the fart itself that was the criminal act.
No, that was the instigator.
So you've got to be a bit careful if you're going to confront somebody.
So the reason I told you the farting story is because it plays into the next story.
Wow, your nose has been on the end of some serious assaults this week.
It has. We were, you know, at work sorting out all our parcels and whatever, and then all of a sudden, wallop, horrible smell. And we thought, oh my God, not again.
Now, try and describe the smell. So the first smell, the farting man, was this a suspected fart or was it a very different aroma?
This smell was so bad that my colleague who found it, or first smelled the smell, he thought someone had maybe gone for a fart and gone a little bit too far. But alas, that was not the case. So we got out to the van and we started loading up and we thought, hang on a minute, we're outside now. I can still smell this dreadful smell.
Right.
And then...
You start to think it's you then. You know, if it's sort of followed you, perhaps it's me.
Quick smell of the armpits, I was fine. Then we identified it was something that we were carrying and we pinpointed it down to a parcel.
Right.
And sometimes on your parcels, they'll actually tell you on the front what the contents is.
Because a few weeks ago you were saying, we were talking about posting like fish and stuff, and you said you'd had to deliver what you thought was fish in a parcel.
Yeah.
So this is a fairly regular occurrence then.
So we were horrified to identify the stinking package and then to realise it was labelled cockroach bait.
Ooh, cockroach bait. What's that? I don't even know what that is.
Neither did I. And I thought, well, surely cockroach killer, cockroach pesticide, cockroach bait suggests to me like you're trying to lure them to catch them. So whatever was inside this dreadful package had obviously been compromised. And basically, I looked up what cockroach bait is.
Yeah.
And it's basically poison concealed within a gel-type substance.
Okay.
And it's very effective because not only does it kill the cockroach that eats it, cockroaches have a habit of eating their dead relatives, and then they become ill, and also cockroaches will eat other cockroaches' excrement, sorry, everyone, which contains the poison. So it's quite an effective poison.
Well, okay, yeah, it just sounds great.
In order to make it attractive to them in the first place, it has to stink to high heaven.
But we don't know what the... It's not a specific aroma. It's like rotting food sort of smell, is it?
Yeah, it's nothing you want to ever smell. It's absolutely horrific. We couldn't get rid of it fast enough. And I think we even changed up the order of delivery to get rid of this thing.
Now, the person, you obviously have to... Yeah, there's probably some... You can't say too much, but when you delivered the parcel, was there any comment about the aroma?
How do I get around this without getting sacked? I will neither confirm nor deny that the parcel was hastily left on the doorstep and
right, okay,
ran away from.
Yeah, oh, it didn't need a signature or anything.
I can neither confirm nor
that was forged. Again, every week, Ben. I mean, you're getting closer and closer to that exit door. Wow, well, that's unfortunate to have that smell as well.
Oh, God, it's been horrendous. So my nose needs a holiday. I think bring on lockdown. I can take it if it gets me out of the open world.
Just while we're on horrible things, I had another front path
no
thing to deal with this week. Animal on this occasion, I'm pretty certain. So that had to be, once again, sluiced down this week. I mean, I don't know what's going on with my front path, but it does seem to be like an open invitation to all animals and humans to come and do whatever they want.
I think what's happened is the initial person who left the unhappy package on your path.
Yeah.
You haven't, I don't think, clean that away efficiently enough, and now any passing animal gets a trace of that and thinks, well, this is obviously where we go to do this,
or it's laying their scent to try and make themselves like the alpha.
Yeah, you know? So I think what you need to invest in is some industrial strength bleach.
Well, get me some cockroach poison. I'll just smother that down. I don't know about you, Ben, but I'm finding, I think as a result of the kind of year 2020 has been, I'm finding that my patience has worn incredibly thin.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not sure I was the most patient of people in the first place. So it's not taking much to really push me to the edge. And the thing is, I'm very British as well. So although I'm being pushed to the edge by something, it's all happening inside.
Yes, because I was going to say, not to disagree with you, but I was going to say I've seen you be incredibly patient with people that I would consider morons. And you always seem to, I think like the rest of us, you bottle up the rage and just quietly seethe.
Yes.
But what worries me is that you put up with so much of it so patiently and so nicely that I'm worried you're going to burst. And I've never seen it myself, but I've heard you describe it to me before. You have a habit of exploding when you eventually go.
It can happen, yeah. So a couple of things this week have just... Like, I've just had this inner rage, and in my head, I'm saying the things that I want to be saying out loud to the person involved, right?
Right.
So first of all, this week, I had a technical issue with my telly. I've had this telly about, I don't know, 10 months or something.
Still in warranty?
Still in warranty. And it had a really minor but irritating thing that was going on, in that whenever there was something that had low-level ambient noise,
yeah,
the sound would cut out. So it was like some sort of what we call in a sound world a noise gate.
Yes.
So it was cutting it out. So if you're watching an old film where there's hiss on it, for example, I was watching this old movie and this guy's walking up some steps. You hear the footstep and then the sound cuts out because it just hears this hiss. And it's really irritating because I can't concentrate on what I'm watching then.
To very quickly and briefly explain a noise gate to someone who doesn't know. Yeah. Basically, sounds that are at such a low frequency or too high a frequency will be automatically by an algorithm removed.
Yes.
And that's very annoying if they're designed to be specifically in there.
Yes. And
it's
to keep
things at a certain decibel range, isn't it?
Yeah, and I tried all the settings on the telly and I couldn't get it to change. And like I say, it's only a minor thing, but it spoils my enjoyment of watching a program, to be honest, because the moment it starts, I just think, oh, it's doing it again. So then I can't chill out and watch what I'm watching.
Not to get too techie and boring,
yeah,
but how did you notice something was removed when it... I guess what I'm asking in a roundabout way is, how did you notice something should have been there when it had been removed?
Just because it was so obvious. Because, like I say, I was watching an old film where you got this constant sort of hiss on the sound, and then he was walking up some steps. So you'd get the footstep, and then it would just cut to absolute silence, so the hiss would go.
Right.
And there's hiss throughout the whole film, so there should be hiss when there's nothing happening.
So from what I'm understanding, if I am understanding you right, is that you're complaining that your TV removed an annoying hissing noise from the film you're watching.
Yeah.
I think most people would think that was a good thing.
But it's not just that. Like, you'll be watching when I was watching Game of Thrones, for example, when there's a scene where they're out in the garden, in between the speech, when it's just a bit of garden atmos, it was cutting that.
Okay, you know, that is annoying.
You watch anything, whether by the sea, the moment they stop talking, the sea noise is cut, and it just cuts to silence, and it's coming in and out, and it does my head in. And because, I suppose, in a way, because my job is working with sound, I'm so kind of attuned to it that it really annoys me, and I can't enjoy the program.
And right? Was this a DVD or was it something on Netflix? Or
it does it on everything, no matter what. Okay. you're
so
watching.
It is the TV then.
So it's something with the TV. So I bought the TV off of Amazon. I'm not really into these online chats, you know, but I thought it's better than phoning somebody. And I don't know. So I did this thing. We go, I've got this annoying problem with the TV. Just wondered if you had any ideas as to what it might be. Right. I then had to go through this long-winded conversation with this person who was the customer service expert on tellies, right?
Right.
And he types, let's reset the telly. And he starts putting all the instructions, but he's talking about a different fucking telly. He's saying to me, oh, you know, press this on the remote. And I don't have that on the remote. So I type back in, I'm sorry, I don't have that on the remote. That doesn't seem to really go anywhere. And because I'm British, I'm now going along with everything he's saying on the text, knowing that I'm not doing anything. He's going, so how's it looking now? Going, oh, it's just doing its thing. And it's like, it's not doing anything.
And I was thinking, that's so incredibly British and polite. It's like, I would have terminated that immediately. If the expert, the so-called expert, doesn't even know which TV you've got, then I'd have abandoned ship at that point.
Well, we eventually kind of got to this point where I said to him, I don't think this TV is doing the thing that you are expecting it to do. And then his response was, just give it more time. So I gave it more time. And I just said, I finished it by saying, I think it's done what you've said, but I don't know because I don't think I've got the remote control you're talking about. And then
TV.
And he's fine. Like, that was it. He just went, is there anything else I could do for you? And I just thought, no, not really. You've wasted half an hour of my time. I then had to go and spend another half hour, 45 minutes. I dug out the instruction manual for the TV. I mean, I suppose at least it gave me an idea that I had to reset it to factory settings. But because I couldn't find that, there's nothing on my TV that says reset to factory settings. And then
there won't be a big button on the remote that says that. You'll probably have to navigate some sort of settings menu.
Yeah, but there's nothing on my TV that even says that.
I find that hard to believe. I've seen your TV. It's quite a plush new one.
I know, but it hasn't got that. This is what I'm saying. Like, he's telling me, oh, you go to select, go to menu, go to settings, go to reset, right?
So I don't believe you've done this right. I think you've missed something. There is no way that TV doesn't have a factory reset.
Well, it does, but it's not called that. That's what I mean. I have to find it in the instruction manual.
What do they call it?
Well, you have to go to first time installation, and that resets it. So there's nothing that says reset. You have to go to first time installation. And I thought,
can I ask you, did you realise that only through reading the manual, or had you disregarded the first time installation setting as the answer?
I think I only found that going through the manual. So I was furious at the end of this. It's like,
so did it eventually solve your problem though?
Well, it seems to have done for now, but right, we shall wait and see.
I was getting really cross recently because I was watching a few YouTube videos, and it was there was certain times in the video they'd pop up text on the screen, and I was getting furious because I thought they've lopped off the end of that. They haven't fit that on the screen properly, the dickheads. And then I realised if I put my TV into a different mode,
yeah,
for viewing, it was all my fault. They hadn't done anything.
And then the other thing this week that really annoyed me was everything in my house is a never-ending decorating project.
Yeah.
So the little box room, the tiniest room in the house bar the toilet, that I started back in January.
Obviously, January?
I first stripped the walls in January. This room is only 3 by 2 metres, so it's a small space, right? And obviously we've had lockdown, which meant I haven't had people coming in to help me. So there had to be a long period of nothing going on.
Hang on a minute. I am going to sell you down the river for a second.
Go on, yeah.
You were talking to me about starting this project when we were still on the radio.
Oh, yeah. I was probably talking about it then. Yeah.
This has been going on for years.
Yeah. And then I got to the point where I put the underlay down for the carpet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had this bit of carpet for 11 years that was given to me, an offcut from someone who said to me, oh, this will be perfect for when you do that box room. And that was 11 years ago when we first talked about this box room.
And you've still got the bit of carpet?
Still got the bit of carpet.
See, now, if anyone listens to these podcasts and thinks we exaggerate when we call Trevor hoarder, we're not.
No.
You've had a lump of carpet unused for 11 years.
11 years I've had this bit of carpet.
Jesus.
Waiting for when I did this room. Finally got this bit of carpet out. Doesn't fit. Not enough.
Of course. Perfect. 11 years well spent.
Yes. So, had to go down to the carpet shop. And, this is annoying. Right, so I've just told you, it's a small room, 3 by 2, right? There's no offcut that I can buy that's going to fit. So
right.
I thought, well, I'm going to have to buy a bit off the roll. Then I have to cut it to size. Most of the rolls are 4 metres. Now, I'm not a stingy bastard, but I don't see why I should basically buy a metre of carpet that I'm not going to use. Right?
No, and I tell you what, we've been looking into getting new carpets recently.
Yeah.
And it's a racket. The carpet people have got us by the balls.
It's not cheaper carpet, is it?
Or the stupid underlay thing, which you never even get to see.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my underlay, when I bought the underlay for this room, I think that cost me, I don't know, that was about 80 quid, something like that. It might have even been more than that. So go down, I eventually find someone to talk to in the shop and say, look, you know, have you got anything that comes off a 3 meter roll? Because it just, you know, I don't need 4 meters. So he finds me some carpet, go, oh, great, right? So I find one that I like. I think, well, I better go home because I don't trust myself with the measuring. So I thought I'd go home just double check the measuring.
Remember when we used to work on a radio station for tradespeople?
Yeah.
And we're encouraged to brag about our trade background. And
yeah.
You can't even measure.
No, I don't trust myself. Don't trust myself. So I came back, measured it, went back down. Now, I'd spoken to the salesman. I said, like, I'll be back in a little while. And then I went back down and, oh, I mean, I know it's not his fault, right? But he was dealing with, this is going to sound awful, but he was dealing with an older couple. I'm not talking like really old, I'd say sort of in their 60s. But they seem to me to be of people of that age who've got fuck all else to do. So can spend all day with a salesman, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, come on, Donald. This was a sales guy. I'm thinking, come on, Donald, come on. I need to get going here. I think I waited 40 minutes for this salesperson to come and serve
me. That's ridiculous. Right? Well, they only had one salesperson.
Well, the thing was that someone else came to see me when I first got there. And I said, oh, no, it's all right. I've been speaking to Donald. He'll come over and deal with me. I didn't realise I was going to have to wait for the old people to tell him their life story while they ordered their carpet.
Ugh.
But I just, what annoyed me was, because I was in this, again, very British thing where I want to be fair. So I'm thinking, Donald started this sale with me. So what I don't know is if another salesperson comes now, does Donald then, you know, they're all on commission, right? Does he not get the commission? I want to be fair. You know, I know what salespeople are like. Most of them absolute arseholes. They'll quite happily jump in and nick someone's commission. And I thought, I don't know if I want that. But then
Donald's giving you bad service.
Well, then I was getting really annoyed because I was thinking, Donald, you've seen me. You've said a couple of times, be with you in a minute. Then he disappears off upstairs trying to find something for the old people. And I thought, surely you would say, I'll get someone else to deal with you.
Yes.
Surely that would be the way to do it. So by about half hour, 40 minutes, I'm screaming inside. I'm absolutely screaming. I'm going, fuck it, Donald! Donald, this is bad fucking service. Then he comes over. Finally comes over. I'm thinking, right, I know what I want. We've already had this discussion. All I need to do is probably sign a bit of paper, pay for it, and then I can piss off. Right?
Yep.
Oh, no. They don't do that now. They've got a fucking iPad thing where they effectively go through the fucking ordering process online. I could have done it from home on my own. And the thing was, it didn't fucking work properly. It kept going, oh, the connectivity in here is shit. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ. So to order this bit of carpet, it's taken me probably about an hour just in this shop waiting, just doing my head in. What's wrong with people?
I don't know, but you see, it's very British of you to just stand stoically and wait and and seethe on the inside.
And every time anyone said, is everything all right? Go, yes, absolutely fine.
Yeah, of course
very,
you did.
Very British. Very British,
but
yeah.
It's also, I think, a very British thing to have the forethought to know, to not hog the cashier's time. You're entitled to as much casual chit-chat whilst the transaction's going on and whilst cards are being put in machines and what. That's all fine. But the moment you start dawdling, and you would immediately clear out the way, let the next person in, because you don't want to keep people waiting.
Well, I don't know what they were doing, this couple, to be honest. Well, no, I mean,
I'm right behind you with this, because I get furious with old people in shops. Obviously, internally, I don't start screaming at the elderly, but I want to. But honestly, when do you lose the ability that other people have shit to do and get out the fucking way?
I think it's once you retire. I reckon once you retire, that's it. Because, like, time... It's like that's the main event for the day, isn't it? You're going out to get a carpet or sofa, whatever the fuck they were buying.
Yeah.
And you know, probably while you're there, you suddenly think, oh, while I'm here, can you tell me about, you know, your new raise-up chairs, you know, those sort of old people chairs that raise up on their own. You know, they're probably having conversations about that. And I'm just thinking, just fucking... And if you've got to ask all that, wouldn't you just say... Oh, well, deal with this gentleman first.
You should do.
Because I did start saying the person with me had to be back by a certain time. So there did come a point where I kept saying a bit louder, just like, oh, you're still all right for time? Because I know you've got to be back for one, haven't you? You know?
Who's like, this? Are you on a hot date at the carpet shop?
No, it's my dad. My dad was with me, right? So I just thought, you know, that might G someone along a little bit.
How was your dad dealing with it?
He was exactly the same as me. I think he was pretty calm. But he might have been inwardly seething.
Well, now that you've explained to me that it might have been their big appointment for the day and the only thing they had to do all day, I kind of feel a bit bad now. But no, I still think it's fundamentally rude to delay people while you waffle.
So it sounds like, obviously, I've been stressed, you with your smells. It's been a stressful week in many ways for us both.
It has been.
So I was looking for ideas of how to de-stress the other day. I've tried meditation, but I can't get my brain to stop. I thought the whole idea of meditation is you just stop and you sort of think of nothing.
Yeah, that's the idea. Apparently, it's very common when you start for your mind to almost immediately wander back into day-to-day life. And it takes quite a bit of practice and you've got to sort of build it up every day, a little bit more, a little bit more.
Yeah.
It just sounds so fucking boring to me.
You have to concentrate on your breathing, which I've tried. That does work for a couple of minutes for me. But again, after a couple of minutes, my brain is just, it's off. I'm beginning to think, you know, I hear a noise outside and I'm thinking, shut the fuck up. Or, do you know what I mean? I've tried it, but I can't do it. So I was looking for, I'll tell you one thing I have started doing, which certainly at night, if I can't sleep, I've started putting some classical music on.
Does that help?
It's helped me a few times get to sleep. Yeah, just stick a bit of classical music on. I've just bought, for the purpose of trying to sleep some nights when I don't sleep very well, the 50 greatest pieces of classical music.
I'm assuming this is all quite carefully chosen, relaxing classical music, not the sort of thing they'd use.
No, I've just bought this isn't relaxed. I've just bought the 50 greatest well-known pieces. I bought this a while back. I might have told you this before, but the problem with it is that I put it on and I'm sort of laying there, closing my eyes, and I'm sort of humming along to the Blue Danube or something, you know, do-do-do-do-do. And then the next one will come on, and I think, oh, I know this. What is this? And then I have to go and look what it is. So that sort of defeats the object.
See, for me, if I was trying to doze off and, say, Entrance of the Gladiators came on, which is essentially, if anyone doesn't know it, Google it or YouTube it. It's the circus music.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yep. That would be quite off-putting.
Yeah, like sometimes I'll be just going off to sleep and Ride of the Valkyries will come on.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So that's not really good for sleeping. But then what I do sometimes is I've stuck Classic FM on at night and they have like chilled out classics and stuff. So anyway, I'm looking up for stuff to help relax. And this came up. Just put this into Google, ways to relax. And this came up. It's a Dutch idea, actually, called in Dutch, I don't know, I'm not quite sure the pronunciation, but it's called Konuflin.
Konuflin?
Konuflin.
I'm pretty sure you're not pronouncing that right.
No, probably not. It's cow hugging.
Cow hugging.
Yeah. So this farm is offering cow cuddling as a form of therapy. So you can go, you take a tour of the farm, and then you can hug one of their cows for up to 3 hours.
So this isn't something you would do to doze off to sleep?
No, this is just for de-stressing, if you're stressed. Okay. And the cow's warm body temperature and slower heartbeat is supposed to promote positivity and reduce stress in a human being. So I thought, wouldn't that be an amazing thing to go and hug a cow?
Be a strange thing to do.
And then this other thing comes up, right? Have you ever heard of this? Goat yoga?
I have, you know.
Have you heard of goat yoga?
Amazingly, I have. There is a program called, what's it called? Gordon, Fred and Gino, or some combination of those three names. It's the three chefs, yeah. Gordon Ramsay, Gino DeCampo, and Fred, what is chops? and they went and did some goat yoga. You basically yoga around goats.
Well, this one says the goats walk on you as well.
Yeah, I think they are sometimes standing on your back while you're in some sort of pose. It all looks very strange.
Wow. I don't think I'd do the goat. Hugging a cow, yeah. I don't know if I want a goat walking on me. I'm not sure.
No.
But then I thought, well, what else? Like, those are things you have to be outside for. You know, going, like, I live in Croydon. There's not many cows about.
Well, and also, the you know, goats tend to poo their own whim. And you don't want to be doing downward dog and get a face full of goat poo.
Well, presumably you have to wear some sort of plastic sheeting if you're going to have a goat walk over you, just for that reason.
Unless I don't think you do.
Unless the goats are trained. Are they specialists?
You can't train a wild animal not to poo.
Who knows? I don't know. Goats are probably quite intelligent. Or, you know, you could probably teach them not to go if they're walking on a human. There must be something you can do to teach a goat.
I'd love to know how you'd begin to start that training.
Here's some other ideas I came across, though, to de-stress at home. Obviously, you can't go out. Just singing to yourself. just let yourself go, because I'm I do sing to myself at home, but I'm quite reserved in case the neighbours hear.
Right.
Because I often think, oh, you know, I'm not a great singer, so I don't really want the neighbours to hear. So whenever I sing to myself, I'm very sort of, you know, it's almost very slow and whispery.
Right.
And I tend to do like old crooner classics, which you can do quite softly. Do you know what I mean? I don't tend to do too many rock songs, but I reckon a good... the one time I did really go for it was a few years ago. There's a song I love. I've played it to you many times. It's William Shatner's version of Common People, the pulp song.
Yes, yes.
It gets quite rocky. And it's quite... I used to sing, if I was really angry, I would sing that quite loud. That was quite a good stress relief when I was singing that. Here's another idea, a couple of ideas I came across. Play Tetris. That's apparently a very soothing game to play. I find computer games annoying. I know you love
I find
them.
Tetris quite stressful.
Yeah, well, that's it. I don't see what's relaxing about that.
No, I mean, if you've got a gap and as you get further and further in and they're falling faster and faster, it's a very stressful game to play Tetris.
Yeah, so I'm not doing that. Put your thumb in your mouth and blow on it.
Why?
It's supposed to be something about... It's cool air on your thumb.
No, not having that.
No, okay.
Don't believe it.
Find fractals is another one I came across.
Sorry, did you say fractals?
Fractals.
Fractals.
Patterns that you find organically in nature, like a snowflake or a flower. So look for patterns that you find in nature. It's very soothing.
Seems like a very lazily written list. Blow on your thumb, look for patterns, hug a cow.
Well, these are just the things that come up when you look for ways to relax. It's a weird thing. I mean, obviously, you get all the... There's lots of the usual ones, like meditate, go for a walk, all that stuff. The one thing I'd really like to do is a rage room.
Ah, yes. No, I know about these.
You know, where you go and pay for, I don't know, what is it, half hour, an hour, or whatever it is, into sort of a room where you just get to smash the shit out of stuff.
I imagine it would be half an hour tops. No one's got the energy to destroy a room for an hour.
Yeah, I reckon half hour would be enough, wouldn't it?
I think 15 minutes would be plenty.
15 minutes, yeah. Someone once gave me... I remember saying to an old work colleague once... we were just talking about when you get the rage. And I said, you know, I do tend to, you know, because as you were saying earlier, I don't really blow very often, right? But when I do, it's quite a thing. And I normally kick things or punch things. I was talking last week about punching the wall when I was locked out.
Yeah.
And you often do yourself a bit of harm. You know, the times I've hurt my foot, I remember kicking a bin over, getting stressed and then having to limp back to Victoria Station. You know, so I've often done myself a bit of damage. So my friend bought me just a plastic measuring jug. And she said, whenever I get stressed, I've got one of these, I just throw it around the house. It's plastic, you know, it's light plastic. It's not going to do any damage. And she bought me one for just chucking about.
But normally I find if you ever get to the level of punchy anger, where you want to hit something or kick something, it's not normally that measured a thing. You're not going to think, where's my special measuring jug for throwing? No. It's going to be the first thing you see.
Well, no, that's the thing, right? I use this measuring jug a couple of times. But yeah, it's as you say, it's not something I automatically... I suppose you've got to learn that behaviour. It's a bit of learned behaviour. Whenever you get stressed, get the measuring jug out. When you feel stress beginning to boil, get the jug out.
So, Trev, I still haven't really got over from a couple of weeks ago being absolutely fleeced by a locksmith.
Oh, yes, yeah. So you need a jug to throw about.
Yeah, I do need the jug, definitely. You send me your jug, please, because I've been, what I think is legally swindled again.
Again?
Yeah.
Okay, not another locksmith, not the same locksmith.
No, but related to the same property, which is becoming the biggest pain in my arse. I am having to get...
Well, look at you, like the landed gentry. Oh, it's so difficult having all this property.
I've recently found myself in a position where I need to get a property valued.
Right.
And they initially said, I'll get three estate agents round. They'll give you independent viewings, and we'll take the sort of, what is it, the mean or the medium? I can never remember. The average, essentially.
Right, yeah, yeah. Don't ask me about that, mate. It's maths.
The mean, the medium, and the mode. They take one of them, whichever one is the sort of middle ground of all three estimates, and that's what we'll use for filling in the forms to get this sorted. So I did that, used up, you know, went down, did a whole day sitting talking to estate agents who, whilst well-meaning people, are not the most interesting people to talk to. Dealt
well, again, they're salespeople. All they're thinking about is their money, commission. You know, they're not there for any altruistic reasons.
So then I sent off the information to the relevant person, and they got back to me and eventually said, sorry about this, but these aren't going to be good enough.
What do you mean these aren't going to be good enough?
Well, that's what I said. And they said, we've realised in order for us to do the job properly for you with regards to the property, it can only be a chartered surveyor who gets to tell us the opinion of what they think the place is worth.
Why didn't they tell you that in the first place?
That's a very good question, Trev. That's one that I asked them.
There's a cow to hug when you need one.
You know the really annoying thing? He said, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Oh, jeez.
And then there was some reason, but it was so legally confusing mumbo jumbo that I zoned out within the first 30 seconds of the explanation.
Yeah.
And I said, so is getting a chartered surveyor around free by any chance?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so, mate. I mean, chartered surveyors are the sort of people who own a lot of property.
Yeah. And you'd be right. £350.
Of course.
For them to essentially come and confirm what the three estate agents told me. Thanks very much. Oh, and not only that, we need lots of confusing, out-of-date detail from you as to how many years left on the property. Is it freehold or leasehold? Is there grounds maintenance to pay? Now I've got to find all this shit out.
Oh, I know. I know. It's a nightmare when this stuff comes up.
I've been given a paperwork nightmare, and I've got to pay £350 for the privilege.
Yeah, well, this is what happens when you start getting into what you're getting into, all this property that you've got.
It sounds like every corner I turn, there's someone with their hand out for large quantities of money from me.
Well, this is I know that this is like an inheritance issue, and you're having to deal with all of that at the moment, right?
Yes, life as a postman hasn't exactly rocketed me to financial brilliance.
But this I tell you why this all frightens me. So I've got a mate who's a lot older than me, and when he got married, I was his best man. First holiday he went on after he got married, he said, "Oh, Trev, we're doing our wills. Would you mind being the executor of the will?"
Oh,
and I was like, "Yeah, fine." So recently in my family, we've had a bereavement, and so I'm not involved at all. But someone is having to go through all of this that you're having to go through at the moment, right? And I just happened to say to someone, I said, "Oh, I'm the executor of someone's will," and the response I got was, "Trev, you probably don't want to do that."
No, you don't. I can confirm that.
It's a nightmare. And certainly, because the more I've thought about it, the more I think the person that I'm the executor for, there's no way he's organised. So it's just, I'm not going to know where anything is, because I just thought all I've got to do is phone a solicitor when it happens and sort of say, "Sadly, this has happened. I'm the executor. Deal with it." But oh no, it's much more than that. And there's a bit of me now that wants to phone my mate and say, "You know, I'm the executor of your will. I don't think I want to be anymore." It sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, that'll be a lovely thing to do. When you die, it's someone else's problem.
So there we are. That's about it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Couple of recommendations. Always do that at this point. Saw a very good film this week.
Go on.
It's a film called Repression.
Okay.
I thought it was a fantastic film. It's a bit of a sort of psychological thriller sort of thing. The thing is, right, because I'd never heard of it, I looked up about this film once I'd watched it, because I just thought everyone must be raving about this film, because I honestly, the film finished, I just thought, That was incredible. You know, very rare you get that.
Yeah.
When a film finishes and you think, geez, that was amazing. I didn't see the end coming. I didn't know what was going on for most of the film. It was just, what is this all about? And then the first critic I comes across that writes about it comes across, I went a bit Cornish then. First critic I comes across says, yeah, basically it's all right. Scripting unfortunately lacks the subtlety to create or maintain any thrills, offers only supernatural twists too readily available, and the plot comes as no surprise within the first few minutes anyone's worked it out. And I thought, well, I hadn't worked it out at all. It's a really good film. I'm not going to give any spoilers. I'm not going to say much. All I'll say, it's about a boy in therapy and his therapist, and the boy has some sort of powers. That's all I'll say. It's a cracking film.
Spoiler free, is it? The spoiler isn't that the boy has powers.
No.
Okay, good.
But it's a fantastic film. I highly recommend it. The other thing I've been watching this week, you know, a couple of weeks ago I told you about that documentary about John McAfee?
Yes.
A sort of jaw-dropping documentary. I saw another documentary this week. It was just one of those jaw-dropping things. Every step of the way, you're just thinking, what the fuck is going on? It's on a BBC iPlayer, I think, at the moment. It's called The Mole, Infiltrating North Korea.
Okay.
And it's just amazing, right? So it's this Danish guy who was just a chef, like nothing special. And then, I don't quite know, he became involved in like the Danish Friends of North Korea. And then a filmmaker got hold of him, and then he becomes this mole and gets so deep into, like, basically he becomes with someone else, they're signing like multi-million arms and drug deals with North Korea, all being filmed. So it's like infiltrating this really seedy but dangerous world. And it's just a normal guy. It is the most fascinating thing. There are moments when you think you're watching almost like super criminals from a James Bond movie. It is unbelievable. It's in two parts on the BBC iPlayer. Well worth a watch. It's just absolutely incredible. And finally, the last thing I've watched this week, which is absolutely superb, just finished, is Ratched. Heard of this? Ratched.
Ratched. Okay. Yeah.
It's the character of the nurse from the film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but back in her past. And it's on Netflix. And what's amazing about this is it goes against everything that I normally need in a drama. Like, there's not one really likable character, but it's so well written. She's not the nicest of characters, but you kind of feel you're rooting for her a little bit. But series one is on Netflix. Highly recommend it.
Very good stuff. Myself, I haven't got anything new or modern to recommend, but I don't think our recommendations have to be new releases,
do
they?
No.
So I've recently gone through and rewatched Fresh Meat, which you've probably seen.
Yes.
It's for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's on Netflix, and it's basically lives of university students. It's a comedy thing, living in a shared house. That's quite good. And then on the back of that, we went from that and watched Bad Education with Jack Whitehall in it as well, where he plays a teacher with an unruly class. It's another comedy. At times, a little bit surreal and a little bit stupid, but still a good watch. I enjoyed it. I'd recommend that.
Bad Education I really enjoyed, and if you get a chance to watch the film, that's pretty good. You
know, watching that tonight.
Oh, brilliant. Well, you'll enjoy that. So there we are. There's a few good things to watch as we start lockdown again. There's a few things you need to think about.
Circuit breaker, Trev.
Circuit breaker. Yeah. Well, it's a global pandemic, remember?
Oh, shut the fuck up.
So that's about it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, and take it easy.
Bye.